Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where information is exchanged with the expectation that it is to be applied. I am your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com, as well as co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Now let's dive into a discussion that can help you help yourself. Again, this is the Family Alpha Podcast. Now let's get to work. Welcome back to the Family Alpha Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Drew. Oh my God.
You're making me laugh.
I'm your host, Hunter Drew. And today we are running episode 2 of Wednesday with the Wife. Every Wednesday I'm bringing my lady in. And we're going to start talking about what's going on in her world or answering questions from people who are following me, which is what today is, a Q&A. We had a bunch of questions we're going to dive into. But before we get to all that, Jackie, how are you doing? Excellent. You had a good day today.
I did have a good day today.
What'd you do? Tell the good people all the work, the grind.
Met with some clients who are putting offers in on houses.
It's a good day in this household.
It was a good day.
Making sales. Yeah. All right. So first, I'm going to dive on the Twitter questions.
Okay.
Then I'll answer questions from the Men of March crew. And then we'll dive into the FOE, which machine gunned a bunch of questions out. Big shout out to Jimmy G and Mike T.
Alrighty.
They did well. All right. First question. From a woman's perspective, what are your thoughts on FOE, and how does it feel to be married to the man who co-founded such an amazing concept? Thank you, Jason. I think it's amazing as well.
Well, I feel pride that you created such an awesome group, and you guys get, you know, you do your retreats, you do meetings, you meet up in real life, you know, not always a group setting, but you're really pushing people to be out of their element. You know, these guys just aren't comfortable family men at home or comfortable in their situation where that, you know, they're not going to go out and make new friends or go out and do new adventures. You're putting it into a whole new realm that a lot of people don't do and giving people this great experience. So I'm proud of you for that. And I think that it's been, you know, great for us and our family. You're home more, but you're going to do what you love.
I agree. And shout out to all the guys in FOE who are kicking ass daily. It's amazing what's going on inside those walls.
And taking their own initiatives to do things.
Yeah, it's only getting better. All right, next question. This jarhead from Mississippi would like to know, what are your honest thoughts on the red pill revolution?
I don't have too many thoughts on it. I'm not really big on social media. I stay away from a lot of that, so I don't hear too much. I know it's taken kind of a weird angle from what it originated as, but, you know, to each their own. I think really it's just important to be who you are in life and not try to really follow any one person or one persona. I mean, no cult-minded
type. I think people are, I don't think people actually understand how small your online presence is. Mm-hmm. Like, I shared something on Instagram the other day about, it was just a quick, like, 10-second video. But all I was doing was trying to show, well, for the people listening, I was trying to show Jackie how easy it is to record a video, because she was trying to record one for Facebook for her real estate page, and she kept, you know, getting nervous or smiling or laughing. And it's one of those things where you're not on much social media, you're not on much of this, so then these people think, oh, what do you think about red pill, what do you think about this in the news?
I don't know.
And you're like, I have no idea. So to everybody listening, she really is not online that much, but
I know there were some terrible documentaries on it.
Yeah. Do not watch the Red Pill documentary on Netflix. It is absolute garbage and not what the Red Pill is. All right, next question. This is coming from the guys in Men of March. So the first is actually a question for me, and I'll answer it. How did you balance your 9-to-5 with your goals of eventually leaving to become income independent while being a fully engaged husband and father? That is a hell of a question because I did it by doing a lot. You know, balancing the 9-to-5 with my goals of income independence, that required me to wake up and do a lot of work. I would work while driving. I would tweet while driving. I would make videos while driving. At my job, I would write for the blog in between doing my actual job. I would tweet, walking from room to room just to keep myself relevant. You know, and I would do very well at my job as well, my 9-to-5. But I wanted to build the Family Alpha. I wanted to build the Fraternity of Excellence. So I invested a lot of time. I didn't take breaks. And then on the way home from work, you know, I'd be hauling ass to get home because it was an hour commute. So I would make videos, I would tweet, And then I would get home, and then now to being a fully engaged husband and father, I would throw the kids into the Jeep. I would drive down. I'd run baseball practice. And then I'd come back home. Somewhere in there, Jackie would have had dinner made for us. So we'd either eat before practice or after. Then I'd hang out with the kids. We'd watch a movie or something. I'd probably tweet in the side of that. I'd put them to bed. I'd hang out, do something with Jackie. We'd hang out. And then she would have to watch a movie by herself because right after that, I was probably going into our bedroom, which at the time was my podcast studio, to do a podcast. And then put that on repeat. I did not sleep a lot. I did not waste time. There was work to be done. I did it. And the results are what they are. And I made sure that my wife and kids were the priority. And there were times where I slid too far across the line. But I think the only way to find out where that line is and how far you can push is to go too far and then just calibrate it back. And then all of a sudden you start noticing the followers are down, the engagement's down online. Now you start pushing back forward. And you kind of find the balance. Jackie, do you think there was balance? I mean, it was only June. I was still working there.
It was kind of high stress, you know, during sports season. And being quiet while you're doing podcasts or Zooms in the room and everyone had to be quiet. There's a lot of behind the scenes, I think, that maybe other people didn't know or didn't realize. But now you have this amazing man shed.
I love this shed. All right, next question's for you.
All right.
How did you handle the long hours while I was working on long-term projects?
Just doing my job, being a mom, having us try to schedule things around what we had going on, and lots of organization, and finding shows to watch that weren't loud enough to interrupt anything, or projects. I like to craft too, so sometimes I would do something quieter, such as that.
It's interesting, like, I don't think people understand, like, how weird it is. Like, oh, where's Hunter? You know, if you go somewhere and I'm still at home because I had to finish a book or I had to do a podcast. Yeah. Or they're coming to visit us.
Yeah, it's not really like that now, but it used to be really weird. Especially before our families knew what you did. We would always say that you had a work conference call.
Yeah.
Which I guess it is, but it was odd.
There were times where, I'd have my three-point light set up in our bedroom. And I'd have the cameras out and everything and the microphone. I'm like, oh my God, what do my parents think I'm doing? Or what do your parents think we're doing? Those are fun times. Next question. What impact has the FOE had on your family life?
Well, I think this kind of goes back to, like, you know, kind of backing up to where you left off in June. I mean, it's been a lot better as far as, you know, now you can balance the things that you have, you know, with FOE or with podcasts, with meetings, with conference calls. You can balance that over, you know, not having a 9-to-5 anymore. So you can do daytime hours. You're not as stressed out. And when you have baseball, and that's your coaching hours, you're not doing anything else. So I think the work-to-life balance ratio is better.
I agree. I don't have to do 5 things at once. I can do 1 thing at once, which is so freeing.
I think you also finally stopped searching for that brotherhood.
You're getting real deep on it now.
Sorry.
No, it's true. You start finding that sense of purpose and mission again. Like, I think that's the biggest thing veterans lose when they leave the military, is the mission goes on without you. And you're like, well, now what? Like, what's my purpose? My purpose isn't just to be dad. It's not just to be husband. Like, there's got to be more. And, you know, we were in Florida recently with all the FOE guys. There's 25 of us. And there were multiple times I just sat around looking at what we were doing and was like, man, this is it. Like, this is what right looks like. So that definitely life satisfaction, which is something I think everybody needs. Next question. Now we're moving over to FOE, where these guys are just absolute animals when it comes to asking questions. Shout out to Jimmy G and Mike T. All right, first one. As a divorced father of 2 daughters, what suggestions would you have for fostering or instilling feminine traits and behaviors in them?
I think the biggest thing is to let them be themselves. You know, they're going to let you know what they're into, what they like and what they don't like, especially if they're at a young age. If their mom is in the picture, you know, make sure that she's instilling the right qualities in them. Don't ever try to maybe, you know, fight what she's doing with something that you're doing. Even if you're divorced, even if you're separated, you should still try to work through a common goal of your kids having their best life. They're going to let you know what they're you know, their personality traits are. Maybe you have a tomboy and maybe you have one girly girl. Maybe they're both girly. Just let them be them, you know, themselves. As they get older, they're going to need a woman role model in life, and just make sure they have that, somebody that they can trust and go to. And as a father, you know, due diligence and, you know, research what, you know, girls need as they get older, as they're teenagers, and just be there for them.
I think it's going to be harder as they're younger, or as they're older, and easier as they're younger. Because when they're little, they just let them be who they are. They'll naturally develop and share their traits. I mean, feminine isn't like you have to have pigtails and a sundress on 24/7. It's like, no, like let them just be what a natural girl is. And then as they get older, you know, just kind of help guide them where you can. But I mean, there's like no girl, I don't think, wants to go bra shopping with their dad. Like as they start crossing into that realm, get an older woman or somebody you know or one of their friend's moms to kind of
lead the way. Yeah, I was going to say a friend's mom, even if you have no one else, if they have a good friend that, you know, they're always willing to do that. I would be willing to do that for someone.
Good, because I wouldn't. What are the differences between raising a son versus raising a daughter?
The maturity level at a young age, you know, is different. That was probably one of the biggest things. But it kind of goes back to the last question. Just letting them be themselves and all the adventures that they bring you on while you learn about who they are and who they're growing into. I mean, it's true that, you know, boys are more dirt and, like, noise, you know. I mean, it definitely. I mean, our son's already broken 2 windows in our house and from baseballs, or I should say tennis balls and baseballs, where I don't know if my daughter's ever broken anything, but she's glitz and glam, and she loves to cook and, you know, try new things. I think it's, you just have to understand them, know your kids, and know their strengths and weaknesses, and work to achieve the best results with them.
When I read this, you know, there's so much to be said about their differences. So that could be like a podcast on its own. So to answer this, what's the main difference? I would say what they find important is so different. Hmm. You know, my son wants me to be there to, like, hey, did you see me do this physical achievement? Did you see me make that throw? How I stole this base? Did you see me climb that thing? Where my daughter's always, she doesn't care if I see what she does. She wants me to more so, like, just be doing something with her. Hey, can I help you with this? Oh, Dad, can we go do that? Can we go do this? So she'd much rather us go and tinker on things, whereas he would much rather, like, hey, look, I achieved this. It's just weird what they value and what they don't. But like I said, I think we'll do an entire episode on that, because there's so many differences, you know, from mind, body, spirit. I mean, through and through, they could not be more different. All right, next question. What's one piece of advice you would give to expecting mothers or fathers, or current mothers or fathers?
To be prepared in whatever sense that means for you, whether it's time, money, having your house ready, you know, having friends and family on board to help. Just be prepared, because you never will be 100%, you know, prepared for a baby. Everything changes. But just know what, you know, what you're getting into. You're bringing a life into this world, and you want to make sure that you're giving your child the best life that it can have.
Do you think people can be prepared?
Not 100%, but I think that...
I feel like we had no clue. I was like, oh, we need all these new things in our registry, well, and we didn't use half of that shit.
but you want it. But you knew that you could buy diapers and formula and have your child clean and fed and taken care of and loved, and our work situations worked out where I could stay home with him until, you know, I taught again and he could go to daycare with me. There were, you know, there's a lot of things that change about your lives, but the best family dynamics are the ones where the whole family works together for a common goal.
I think my piece of advice would be to just deal with it. Like, hey, you're going to be tired. You're going to have to deal with that. You know, you're going to be busy. The kid's going to get sick. He's going to have a fever. You know, I'd say just deal with it and don't be worried. Don't be worried if they get a little bit of a fever. You know, humans have been surviving for a long time. You got a new baby, and this happened to us. You know, and there's signs of an ear infection. Like, don't freak out. Just handle it. Just get it done. Just deal with it. So it sounds crass. I get that. You know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But also, like, I'm serious. Like, there's no alternative. So why be stressed out the whole time you're dealing with it when you have to deal with it either way? You might as well accept, yeah, it sucks, but It's got to get done. You got to take care of that baby. You got to take care of your spouse. You got to take care of the whole situation. You know, bills are still going to stack up. Work still needs to get done. Just deal with it. Next question. Before having children, what did you imagine having kids would be like? And how well did what you imagined line up with the reality of having kids?
I think for the most part, it's exactly the way I imagined it would be. A boy and a girl, a rural setting for a house, two dogs, two cats, and...
two Jeeps.
And, you know, I think that we definitely produced the kids that we wanted. You know, we did exactly... you know, we kind of like followed the plan that we wanted. We wanted them to be respectable, you know, respectful and respectable. We want them to have values. We want them to not go without anything, but also appreciate everything. And I think that we worked really hard to bring kids up that are like that. And now we're really like reaping the benefits of it at 7 and 10.
I had a different answer until you said that. I completely agree. I was going to say, you know, my kids are better than I dreamed them up to be. And that's saying something, because everybody wants their daughter to be happy and snuggly with dad, you know, daddy's girl. Everybody wants their son to be physical and athletic, you know, and we have that. But I think we have what we have because we raised what we wanted. So if you want good kids, raise them. But it does take work. I mean, we're on every single day. You got to live up to that standard. You know, you got to set the expectation and then meet it. You know, we have to do that because they're watching us always. And then they kind of follow suit.
I agree. And at the same time, not only do they need to, you know, follow the expectations that we have, but they also know that they get rewarded for, you know, the way they are. They behave. We bring them out to eat. You know, that we get to go on vacation. We get to do fun things because they're such great kids that we don't need to worry about the way they act in public, the way they look in public. I mean, everything comes full circle, and it's a happy family dynamic when we go out.
I truly don't understand people who don't enjoy their kids. Like, there are people who want to get away from them, and I try to find reasons to, like, let them stay out. I'm like, oh, you want to stay a little bit longer so we can research this or watch that or do this thing? It's, like, I hate not having them with us. Like, when they have sleepovers, I love date night with you, but I think we both also go through the same thing of, like, it's quiet in the house, yeah. You know? Where are my little buddies?
Yep.
All right, next question is, when are you getting your new... when are you getting a shed?
It would have a nice deck on it with like an Adirondack chair, a little wine cooler inside. It would be awesome. But you
print stickers for everything with your Cricut?
Yeah, I'd have like nice quotes everywhere. And I would craft. I would have so many activities to
crafting
do
shed. I'm all about that shed life.
But no, I don't think I'll have a shed.
Not yet. Maybe if we move. We'll see how it goes.
This
one was nuts.
Ongoing.
All right. Hunter has mentioned you've been working more recently. What has been one of the best things about working, and what have you learned as a parent that has helped you with your job?
So as a mom and a wife, I've gone through stages where I've been a stay-at-home mom or a part-time worker. I've done some like very random jobs. Don't laugh. When he was in the Navy and we were trying just to make extra money after having two kids and wanting to move home and get out and save. And I mean, I've done a little of everything, but...
what was that job in North Carolina?
Getting up at 3 a.m. to clean planes that Marines get off of.
I could not wrap my head around that.
Gross.
I was like, you do what? She's like, yeah, I clean the planes. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, 3 a.m. I'd be back in bed by like 5 a.m. So weird. Hey, but whatever.
Hey, work hard.
Oh, whatever. But now I, you know, I do real estate and I do like it because it gives me a flexible schedule that I'm in control of. And it might not be steady income month after month or week after week the way a normal paycheck is. It's a great payout when it can be. And, you know, when something does close. And I'm proud to be able to provide that also for our family, for our goals. We want to move in a few years and change vehicles, have a house in the mountains, do so many different things. And you're a family dynamic, so sometimes would I love to just stay home, maybe, but I get really bored. So I like to keep myself busy. So I think that's the best thing about working is just having a goal and having something else to do and other adults and like-minded people to connect with.
And it works around the family. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really put us out, ever.
No, I don't miss out on anything. Like,
that's been one of the best benefits of being able to leave, just do Fraternity of Excellence and all my other things full time. You know, being able to work from Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter where I go. I can do work. I can do work when my son's at baseball practice. I can do work when my daughter's doing something. It doesn't really matter. With that, next question is by Mike, Big Mike T. Do you find that your daughter follows your example while your son follows Hunter's, or do they both follow both?
Mentality-wise, I would say they follow both of us. You know, they know that I think they have some great personality traits of both of ours. They also know, you know, if you're going to say following an example, they know what, you know, what we expect of them, how we hold ourselves accountable, and they hold themselves accountable for things. Personality-wise, I'd say my daughter's probably a little bit more like me than she is my husband, but overall, I think they're a good mix.
That's a good answer. Next one. Hospitality appears to be a lost art. How would you teach this to children? Well, so here's a quick note for people listening. We actually recorded this whole thing prior to, and the audio was jacked up because there was another file on there and it kept messing with the record rate. So we sounded like chipmunks. But in that first iteration of this, this question came up and you went off on like hospitality.
Yeah, I think that's going to be like a whole topic.
Like, I think we might have to bring that back.
Well, so I agree that it's a lost art, unfortunately, in a good amount of people. And I would never name names on here, but I mean, I've been to people's houses where they don't care, regardless if they have kids, if they don't have kids, if they have pets or they don't have pets. I mean, people without kids, without pets, who can't pick up after themselves, who don't even ask you if you'd like a glass of water or anything if you're hanging out at their house. There's, and on the other end too, it's not just a house that's cluttered or a small apartment. I've been to people's houses that have huge houses, and yet there's clutter everywhere, and there's things still from Halloween out, you know, just sitting on a bench. It drives me insane, because anytime someone comes to our house, no matter how short of a visit, my house is clean, vacuumed, tidy, and I'm prepared to at least offer them coffee or something to drink. And it's not that I'm, you know, Susie Homemaker. It's just, I have a standard for what I want people to view our family as, and I never want them to walk in our house and smell the fact that we have two dogs or two cats. I don't want them to think that, you know, we're not courteous. And the kids have to pick up their rooms, too. They have to pick up their things. And they know if someone's coming over, you know, we're cleaning first. And, you know, we have very good friends that no matter why we're going over, no matter if we're doing, like, a potluck thing with them or we are ordering takeout, she always has a spread out. They're very much the way we are. And I think, you know, for us and our families, for the most part, people, you know, are hospitality, you know,
hospitable. I didn't know the right word. I was just thinking of it. Like, what is that? Hospitable. There it is.
Is it the right word? Okay.
We'll go with it.
You know, always offering a drink or something to eat is, you know, a place to sit. But man, there are a lot of people who lost their way over the years, or they just haven't been taught to care enough.
To the final point, crazy. I was going to say, you know, how do you teach this to your children? They follow your example.
Yes.
So you just do it and they'll do it. They'll understand, oh, when people are coming over, like we have some older school lessons that the kids follow. So if somebody comes in the room that's older than them and there are no seats and the kid has a seat, our kids will get up. They'll sit on the floor. You know, when it's adult time, they'll go and they understand, leave the room or go do something else. You know, the adults are speaking. Manners, always. You know, I don't let it slide ever. There's never a time where I'm not checking my kids if they don't say please, thank you or something. And those times, they happen. But it's so far and few. And I mean, it's to the point now where I'm almost like, you don't really have to say, oh, thank you. Every single, like, if I'm handing my kid three things,
oh, yeah.
thank you. I'm like, oh, I get it, man.
Or when they order a drink, am I allowed to have a Sprite? The waitress is like, I don't know, are you?
That's good parents. But yeah, I mean, that's how you teach them is, you just let them know. And it's not being domineering and like, oh, you know, everything has to be perfect. Like nothing's, that's not how it works. You just tell them like, look, you have to care. You know, the give a shit factor needs to exist. All right. Next question. Do you ensure that the children don't come in contact with playmates who are bad examples? Or do you allow that exposure to bad examples be used as teaching opportunities?
I would say 75% of the time we try to keep them with individuals who act the way we want them to act. with parents who parent the way we parent, you know, who expect more from their kids and, you know, positive vibes. But there is times that we let our son play with a few friends who I do know that their parents parent much different than we do, and their children talk back to them to the point where I don't even know how I'd handle that. That's how bad I've heard them talk back. But my kids know that they would never get away with that. We usually have talks with them after we get home, asking them, you know, their thoughts and feelings on something that had occurred, because there's sometimes where there's no problems and there are sometimes where there's big problems. There's a few times our son or daughter tried to cop an attitude after hanging out with a friend that had one. And, you know, we just put a stop to it because we tell them, you know, we don't speak to each other that way. We speak to our kids with respect. So we expect them to, you know, treat us with respect. And that's how, you know, how we run our ship.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a moment where we talk down to our kids or even baby them in any way. I talk to them like the little adults that they are. Like, my son's a future man. My daughter's a future woman. And that's how I speak to them. They get that same level of respect. And we demand that from them as well. So when they see their friends do that, man, it's my son and I have had many conversations on rides home from friends' houses or practices or just, you know, family events where he's like, did you see this? And like, they notice everything. They'll talk to you and they're like, hey, why did they do that? Or why did they say this? Like, that's rude. You're like, yeah, like you're absolutely correct. I'm glad you noticed. I was like, sometimes, you know, other people operate differently, but we're just going to maintain our rules. But you see this happening, you know, that doesn't mean it's okay. So just, you keep doing you, buddy. And my son and daughter are both like that. All right. I'm going to combine these next two because they're kind of the same. So how busy do you keep your children's schedules is one of the questions. So how busy do we keep the kids? But the next one goes very closely in that many push their children to accomplish a lot. How can you tell if a child is being pushed too far and needs to take a break?
All right. Well, our kids are naturally busy just on their own choices. My son is on 2 baseball teams this year. My daughter's on a yearly cheer team. But with that said, we didn't push any extra teams on them on the off season this year. My son had an off season for baseball. Last year he played basketball. We wanted him to take a break. Same with my daughter. No basketball this year. They just, you know, they did their sport. They're doing their sport well. And they might do it frequently throughout the week. But we're not keeping them constantly, you know, go, 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 different thing, new thing. Because that, I feel like that can almost create a burnout where they're trying to be good at too many things. When it comes to school, I mean, 4 out of 5 days, they're in school until 4 p.m. That's a long day plus homework. There are times where they get burnt out and they let us know. We just create a break. We create, you know, they're going to go doing something else. They're going to go shower. They're going to do something to reset their brains and then we'll come back to it. I think kids are resilient. And when they've had too much, they're going to let you know. But they also have to have that trust in you that you're going to help them. You're not going to just pound, you know, do it, do it, do it, get it done. You have to, you know, be here and there. If they're burnt out, you know, allow, you know, recognize that.
I think we chill a lot. Like, we are definitely a pretty chill family. Like, we are doing a lot. So my son, and I'm always asking myself, like, I never want to be that dad. So my son has a pitching clinic on Fridays, strength training now on Saturdays, and then team practice on Sundays. And I'm always asking him, like, hey, man, like, are you good? Is this what you want to do? Are you cool? And he looks at me like, what's wrong with you, Dad? Like, obviously, like, this is amazing. I love this. So he's having the time of his life. His grades are fine. He's doing well in school. So there's no issues. But I'm always, if he were today or right now, hey, I'm done with baseball. Okay. You know, okay. There's no need for me to push him to do things that he doesn't want to do. Now, if he's giving up because, oh, this is hard, that's different than giving up because, oh, like, this is hurting me. And as parents, we need to know the difference. So push kids, you know, to develop some grit. If it's like, oh, I'm sore. Yeah, push through that. But if you've lost the passion, if you just don't want it anymore, you know, you're just going to hurt them because they're not going to be trying as hard. And that'll put them in positions where they can get injured. So constantly, we're looking to make sure that they're relaxed. But I mean, every single night, we take time to play games or read books, or we'll sit and watch like Bob's Burgers or some kind of show or something. So we definitely nightly chill, relax. We talk as a family. We hang out. It's all good. Next question. What makes a good family outing?
One that creates memories. Hands down, only answer.
I concur. Makes a good memory. All right. How do the children respond to your authority versus how they respond to mine?
They respond a little bit faster to you.
But it's a dad voice.
But they respond to both of us because, again, it goes back to respect. They know if I raise my voice, then it's bad.
Yeah, that's not good for anybody.
I'll ask them like 3 times before that happens. It usually doesn't get too far. They know. They're good.
I get it. I agree with that. Do you and Hunter keep disagreements away from the kids and show a united front? Or do you allow them to see our disagreements and then create a united front?
They're allowed to see disagreements when it's silly or minor. It's okay because no two people are alike and people aren't always going to see eye to eye on everything, even if it comes to Dunkin' Donuts versus Honeydew where we want to get iced coffee. Little things like that. We're not, you know, no one's perfect. We don't have this, you know, picture perfect life where everybody agrees with each other. But we would never fight in front of the kids. We don't yell. We don't raise our voices. And we don't let them talk to each other like that either. So we instill a team, you know, family team and a united front all the time.
It's us against the world. That's how we treat it.
And when we want to do something with the kids, we check in together before we make a decision just because it never wants to be, you know, mom said no, so dad says yes. That's not good for anyone.
No.
It puts one of the parents in a bad light. Or vice versa.
I think a compromising authority, mm-hmm. That's just not a good look for anybody.
And they wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Damn kids.
I gave them ice cream sandwiches when I went inside.
What are some... Did you?
Yep.
Oh my God. That's why they're all happy now. What are some red flags to look for when vetting a potential wife or future mother of your children? And what are some green flags to look for? That's a really good question, Mike. I've never been asked, what are green flags to look for?
So a green flag is like...
Like qualities.
Go, let's do this.
Like, so what's something you don't want to find and what's something you do want to find?
You never want to find a woman who says, I don't know when I want to have kids. I'm too selfish for that right now. I've heard a few people, you know, that I've been friends with in the past that said that. And while they did get married later on, they didn't have kids. And I think that's like a huge red flag that if you want a family, you need to be with a woman who is ready for it, at least at some point. I mean, you know, if you're 20 years old and you're dating and she says, I don't want kids right now, that's fine. She's 20. But to say I'm too selfish for kids, if you give yourself the identity of being a selfish person, can you ever be motherly for someone else? I don't know. I always knew that I wanted kids. I always wanted to be a mom. That's why we started so early. But I think that would be the number one thing. I mean, I've heard that just a few times from people, and it makes me cringe every time because I always thought I never knew if they would ever be able to have kids. So I think that's a huge thing. Also, someone who maybe spends tons and tons of money on frivolous things. And I'm not saying I don't like clothes or shoes or things, but one woman doesn't need 30 Coach handbags or, you know, stilettos in every color, even though she never gets out of yoga pants. I mean, there's a lot of women who buy like stilettos ridiculous and things. And you don't want an Instagram hoe either, because that would be just terrible. And like, what, you know, what kind of image does that give your daughter? I mean,
you know how there were like the classic photos of like the World War II women and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, here's my grandmother. And like, then somebody else is like, here's my grandmother's ass in this thong. It got 3,000 likes. She went viral that one time.
Yeah.
Like, that's your grandmother? Yeah. That's your mother?
Nana. Oh my God. Nana, be careful.
I don't want to visualize that. Next. We're just moving. Green flags.
Nana was twerking.
No, green flags.
If you meet your girl twerking at a bar, it's a no-go. I'm still on red flags.
Well, that's like your music playlist. If they play the songs of your youth, it's like DMX and Ja Rule.
Mm-hmm. And then if they play what our youth, I mean like the youth now.
I don't know what kids listen to.
Know what it is. Half that. Oh my God.
My son was listening to AC/DC while playing basketball. And my daughter, Alexa, can you play Metallica?
Oh my God.
I'm like, what? Where are you guys getting this from?
Oh my gosh. No. But.
Green flags.
Okay, green flags.
Positive.
Someone who's on the same page as you. Be upfront. You never want to marry somebody and not know what they want in their future. Be on the same page. And it's not saying you can't date someone that way and, you know, find out more about them. But if you're starting to get serious, you're going to want to be on the same page. If they don't want a family and you do, you're not really compatible. Because obviously your values are different somewhere. And that will become a problem. There's so many guys or girls who marry, you know, their significant other, saying they're going to change them as they get older. They're going to want to have kids. People who say they don't want to have kids don't want to have kids. So you need to be on the same page.
I think people also need to realize, you know, you can't, getting married won't solve the issues in your relationship. You're like, oh, we're in a rough patch. Okay, let's get married and that'll solve it. So that's one. The other is,
if anything, it traps you into the problems.
Foundationally, those things don't change. I want kids. I want this. I want a family. That's a foundational element of who you are. You know, faith is a big part of it. You're having a family is a big part of it. You know, your future goals. That's all a big part of the foundation of who you are. So as you get older, sure, some things will evolve about you. Maybe you're more emotionally controlled. Maybe you want to do this instead of that. Those are little things you can work around, but it's not the foundation of who you are. So you and I have changed from when we were 21 and got married, but the foundation that kept us together has not. That's always been the same.
Yeah.
It's just little things. And I think we've gotten better.
Yeah.
That sounded,
I was trying to think of other things.
Like a dot, dot, dot. Not an exclamation point.
I was trying to think of other things.
Get out of my shed. That answers that.
I'm going to burn down your man shed.
No.
Are you going to be on like a Geico commercial?
As parents, actually, there's only three questions left. As parents, our parenting style can be in response to how we were raised, good or bad. What are some key differences between how you were raised and how you raise your children?
All right, I'll give you three key differences. Because for the most part, I had a pretty normal upbringing.
What was that like?
So, let's see, some key differences. Well, my parents trusted me to do a lot more than I think I trust my kids. I'm really protective over them. I could
like
go to friends' houses. I could go to the schoolyard behind our house by myself on our bikes. And that might be a time thing, but I think I'm like very protective over our kids. I want to know where they are at all times. Eating is a huge thing. We teach our kids all about nutrition, how to cook, how to have healthy meals, but also how to have cheat meals. So it's okay for them to not eat perfectly. We're not super strict on them. When they go out to eat, they get to make their own free choices, as long as it's not, you know, macaroni and cheese every single time. They don't get canned goods. I mean, growing up in our age, we got a lot of processed junk.
And I don't like SpaghettiOs.
It seriously like has messed me up for autoimmune conditions. My food allergies are so many things. God only knows what was in some of those.
That's a teaser for future episodes.
Oh my gosh. a lot of that. I think that's one thing like I didn't do. I didn't cook and learn how to do a lot of fresh foods until I was a little bit older. And it started becoming a thing.
Was that three?
I don't know.
Make up one more.
Okay. I think one thing that I try to instill in my kids, because I feel that I didn't have it adequately as much as I would have liked to growing up, is praise. I try to praise the little things and praise the big things and always tell them I'm proud of them and always tell them, you know, how great they are at, no matter what they're doing, whether it's a coloring page or, you know, my daughter doing a back handspring or anything that she does or anything my son does, a home run or the fact that he gave his friend a pat on the back when he was sad. I'm proud of him for so many things and her for so many things. And I just like to constantly give them praise when they're doing the right thing. And I think that ensures them to continually doing the right thing.
Those are good answers.
And good confidence. I think our kids have great confidence. And I think that's something I lacked as a kid that would be a difference.
Irrational confidence. It's a real thing. Infinite amounts of it. My kids, man, it's nuts. Anyways, so for me, I don't use corporal punishment on my kids. You know, it's unnecessary. But growing up, that's how I was punished. That's how I learned I did something wrong. So I don't spank them. I don't slap their hands. You know, I don't even know if I yell. Like, just elevating my voice a little bit is enough to check them, you know, whatever it is they're doing. So that's a huge one. Next is, there's nothing taboo. So growing up, you know, we didn't talk about finances. We didn't really talk about religion, politics. I talk to my kids about that all the time. You know, we had conversations about money. My son's like, well, how much do you make a month? And I was like, well, it varies, buddy. Well, how does that work? You know, and how does this? And what if you made it that month? And all, like, he's super interested, and I'm explaining it to him. And my daughter, you know, Jackie found this thing where kids can get like a debit card, and they start to learn about money, and money goes in if they do this, like chores or whatever, and they can balance it, and they kind of just learn how to manage money, you know, without it just being dollars and coins in your piggy bank. Because at 10 and 7, you know, crypto is not going away. They've got to learn, you know, what's a debit card? What's a credit card? How do these work? You know, it's not just here, I give you $5, you give me a dollar back. Like, no, you have a card. Well, what's on that card? How do you know? How do you track it? So I talk to my kids about everything. Religion, you know, they're asking about God, different gods. What's the coronavirus? What's terrorism? I'm just like, man, like, why does everybody hate Donald Trump? We have these conversations. That's, it's like every conversation. That's a real, like, every day we're having these talks. And you know what? When I was growing up, that was not happening. So those, and then because my father was in the Navy, he was gone a lot, you know, when I was younger. And that's one of the reasons I left the Navy. You know, I wanted to be there for, like, baseball. You know, when I grew up, I played football. But that was just me playing football at practice and games, and then I played backyard. You know, there was no strength training. There was no weightlifting. There was no conditioning. There was no nutrition. You know, I learned a lot about a lot. So that those are my differences. All right. These final two are fantastic. They're real deep. So I don't know if you're going to be comfortable being this personal on the microphone. But here's the first one. Hunter with a beard or hunter without a beard?
With a beard.
Really?
Yes.
I might have to shave it then. Can it keep you on your toes?
No.
No? Why so serious?
It's at least like a Jesus. Week.
It's just hair.
It's no good until you get a 5 o'clock shadow at minimal.
Whatever.
No baby face.
Final question. Final question for the people. How often do you and Hunter laugh together? I mean, have you been listening to the episode?
Oh, man.
We don't take much seriously.
If someone had a hidden camera on us, they would wonder how we even got any work done or like anything.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's not... life is too short. I mean, I know a lot of relationships, a lot of couples that I'm acutely aware of that they don't really laugh that much. And that's sad.
Sometimes I hear...
What's the point?
The wife, like, nervously laugh sometimes because she's not sure if, like, her husband even enjoys her company. It's so sad.
No, fuck that.
Do you like my company?
Nah. Sorry.
Okay.
It's just above mediocre. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Episode 2 is done. Questions are done. Jackie, you can leave.
Kids time.
Yeah, check on them.
Bye.
All right, I'm going to go check on the babies. For those who are listening, thanks for tuning in. The next episode will not be a Q&A. I know this is a little blocky because it's basically question, answer. We'll be talking about food allergies, how Jackie keeps the home, you know, how she runs things while you know, raising the kids as well as making sure the house is good, how she balances all of that, you know, what it's like to be married to somebody who is so just off the wall like myself. You know, just a lot of things where only a woman and a wife can answer. So if you enjoy it, you know, make sure you like it. Make sure you share. Let me know. If you have any questions or topic recommendations, throw those in the comments below. And if you are looking to connect with other women, or if you're a man looking to connect with other fathers, or if you're a man who wants to have a family, this spring, the 21 convention, which is the Patriarchs edition, and 22 convention, Make Women Great Again, are going on. So you can grab your ticket below. It's buy one, get one free. So if you buy one, you can bring your spouse, your girlfriend, a buddy, whatever you want to do. But get on that, and I'll see you this spring. Until next time, you guys take care.